Welcome back, Blockhead Nation. This is Brian Little, the host of the Your Favorite Blockhead podcast. This episode of the show is sponsored by Fruit of the Bean Coffee, the online coffee producer that not only will satisfy your morning craving for a delicious, fresh brew of morning coffee from countries like Costa Rica, Kenya, and other South American countries, but is also changing the world for the better with a 10% give back policy. That means when you purchase your whole or ground roast coffee, your t-shirts or coffee mugs from Fruit of the Bean, you are also contributing to charities that Fruit of the Bean cherishes, such as the Christian Alliance for Orphans, Project Rescue, and others. Check out the link at yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog and click on the Fruit of the Bean link to learn more about how you, the Blockhead Nation, can drink coffee and do good. That's fruitofthebean.com. Live. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by once again. You are listening to Your Favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and warriors inside the octagon the next. And guys, the episode today has been a long time coming. Finally, on this episode, Your Favorite Blockhead is sitting down with one of the best roundtables in the podcasting world, the Casually Kicking It crew. You've got Ed, you've got Nate, and you've got Tom joining me for an amazing episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy as we take you into one of the best casual online podcasts that you can get. Everything from video game experts to sports experts to movies to comics to even Comic-Con, or what they have in Florida known as MegaCon. You are in for a knee-slapping good time. Without any further ado, please say hello to Ed, Nate, and to Tom of the Casually Kicking It podcast. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Oh, what's up? Thank you for having us.
I wanted them all to come in at one time. Good times, guys. So here's what I'm going to do, just for the listeners to help you out. I'm going to introduce you guys one by one, just to kind of get your story background. The first one to join us earlier on the show was my friend Ed of Casually Kicking It. To start off, Ed, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, about what your background is, and what led you into podcasting, and then just how in the world you stumbled across Your Favorite Blockhead? Can you walk us through that for a second?
My name is Ed, and I'm one of the hosts of Casually Kicking It, along with Tom and Nate. We have one of our members missing today, of course. Matt was unable to be with us, but a little bit about myself, I guess, just a good fun-loving guy, just like to talk, and that's what led me into podcasting. I've always wanted to do it. I did the research on how to do it and just continued doing it. I brought Tom along with me, and both he and I are the ones who came up with the name and added Nate and Tom into the mix to create a round table for Casually Kicking It.
Well said, guys. And there you go for Ed. Even though it might have started with Tom earlier we let Nate in for a while and he's had to kind of hold his tongue for a minute. So, Nate, if you could, just walk us through a little bit about who you are and what got you into the round table that is Casually Kicking It.
Well, again, my name is Nate. I've known Ed, Tom, and Matt for God knows how long. And, one of the things that we all have in common, we all like the same things. And, we're all comic nerds. We both love sports, movies, wrestling, like everything. And Tom and Ed, started the whole podcast scene. They came up, they started everything. And originally, I can't remember what the original topic was, but, we used to have these game nights, and we used to just, all four of us, just kick it and just, like, talk about everything, debate about, like, who was the best Batman to sports and stuff like that. And we were just like, yo, we can just talk about it and report this, like, on the daily. So that's kind of, I was like, yeah, sure, just give it a shot. And it's been history since then.
Well said, Nate. I love it. So this is a chance for the other co-host, the original OG of the Casually Kicking It show, Tom, to be able to come in. Even though Matt's missing in action, Tom, what can you walk us through on your side of Casually Kicking It, and what got you so into podcasting with this cool guy, group of Roundtable?
Well, with the actual podcast, it's kind of like what Nate said. We usually get together for game nights, and we could talk all night, talk junk to each other. And it was like, dude, it's like, this is kind of funny. We've been, you know, why don't we just put it on a podcast? Why don't we try that out? So Ed got, you know, the stuff, and he, you know, let's do it. So we started off, and it was like, hey, let's bring Matt in, let's bring Nate and Matt. And then that's how we started rolling. But Casually Kicking It, yeah, both me and Ed came up with the name. The design was mostly him. That was pretty good. I like the colors and stuff like that. But with me, I just want to talk about stuff and get stuff off my chest. It don't even have to be about certain sports or things like that. Just stuff that I can express myself with. And that's how I got interested in podcasts.
Sure. I mean, that makes sense. And yes, I am very impressed with the work that he's done. And to all of you that have been following, I can honestly say on the last episode I did of YFB Appreciation, man, I knew I was going to drop the ball on something. And the group that I didn't thank for how much you've been part of my show has been the Casually Kicking It podcast. Because for a while, y'all have been following my show and I've been following yours. And I sincerely appreciate that. I really do. But I didn't get you in on the YFB Appreciation. Leave it to me to drop the ball on that one. So now I might regret this, but I'm leaving all three of y'all open for discussion now. Because I wanted to ask, as we go into the Easter holiday, as we've just passed Good Friday, and then we get into Easter Sunday, obviously we're all having to stay home and follow the regulations for staying put for COVID-19. What are some of the plans that you guys have in order for this holiday, whether it's either religious-wise or if it's just with your kiddos doing some kind of an Easter egg hunt in the front yard? What do you guys plan on doing for this holiday season?
Well, I mean, what we're doing on my end, in my house, you know, we just have dinner, we have breakfast, and then right now we're starting to hide some of the eggs before the kids even get out there.
Sure.
But it's in our backyard. And then we have the, like, little, you know, activities for the kids to do. I got two kids, so, you know, it's kind of rough. I'm in the house the whole time. Right. But that's what I've been doing.
There you go. Nate, what about you? Oh. I jumped over you, Ed, a little bit.
No, it's okay.
What about you, Nate?
Me or Ed?
Go ahead. You could go.
Honestly, not much. But luckily for me, even though everyone's kind of like stay at home, my congregation does they stream or they record the services, so I can like go online. I can still listen to the service, and they do a video now. So it's kind of like they video recording. So it's kind of like I can watch the service, hear everything, and see, you know, from the comfort of my home. And you know, I can, and a congregation does have like a website to where I can still, you know, communicate, tithe, and everything like that. So, you know, luckily I don't really have to miss out other than sitting in the facility.
First, before I answer your question, I am going to apologize because you did ask me how I heard about your favorite Blockhead podcast. And I forgot to answer the question.
So I forgot to address first. It. So there you go.
So your favorite Blockhead, a fantastic podcast. I found through Facebook. Facebook has been very nice to other podcasters and sharing a lot of podcasts out there. And I've joined a couple podcast groups, and I think that's where I happened to just stumble across yours and listen to yours because during the day, you know, my job is a delivery driver for a printing company. So I just love to listen to podcasts. So I started listening to your favorite Blockhead and many others that are shared on Facebook. So that's how I, you know, ran across yours.
Sure. I'm glad I can give any kind of entertainment, especially because I do them on the weekends, but people can pick them up throughout the week. I'm glad that you were able to do that as you work your way through the day.
Yeah. So now to answer your other question, for Easter, like Nate said, now services are shown on, you know, multiple streaming, you know, like YouTube, yes, things like that. So I'll watch my congregation service on YouTube, or which they post live. And we'll do that in the morning with me, my wife, and my son. And then later probably have an Easter lunch. And then, yeah, and go from there and just kind of enjoy the day, probably watching some movies. So, you know, just keeping the stay-at-home movement going.
Right. I mean, we're all kind of putting on our hat for the sake of the public good. You know, we're doing our – that's the way we're conducting servitude. Is here, and again, you can watch your services through virtual church. That's what I've been doing as well with mine. And we're able to tithe online still, no matter what, when that time comes. We've even picked up communion that we can take for ourselves at the house here.
Oh, so nice.
So that was a good move on our pastor's side. So thank you guys just for taking the time to answer that question. That's awesome just to hear how we are engaged, whether it's, you know, for the sake of Easter Sunday, but also for the kiddos to build their memories. I love that, Tom. Now to kind of bring it back to the show, I know y'all said how Casually Kicking It came to be, how the name came to be, and what you guys covered. But maybe from the history, y'all covered over 100 episodes, which is still an accomplishment in itself. Maybe you can take us through maybe take us through some of the highs and lows, maybe some of your best episodes, some that you wish never existed. Yeah, Tom, you're biting at the bit, so why don't we start with you, man? What you see on this one?
Well, I don't know exactly which episode it was, but I don't know. Ed, probably, you guys know which one I'm talking about. When I was an Uber driver and I got called, you know, got summoned, whatever you call it. Yeah, I got ringed and I went to go pick up somebody. And it was in a rich neighborhood. You know, at 8 o'clock in the morning, I thought somebody, you know, was you know, just going to go to work. So I go ahead and I go and I go to the house, this girl comes out, and the guy comes out, and then she gets in the car, and he's like, well, make sure she gets home safe. I'm like, okay, I'm just an Uber driver. Why would she not get home safe? So apparently, I was driving back, and she lives on the other side of town. Apparently, she was a lady of the night. And yes, and that was very... very sketchy for me, and I was like, as soon as I dropped her off, I hauled butt away because it was a really bad neighborhood that we dropped her off, and that was the most uncomfortable thing I talked about on the show, but it was weird. So,
Nate,
I knew exactly. I talk about that.
We've had so many episodes. You're right. We've had over 100 and I can't even keep track. We're approaching our third year in September. Yeah. And in the podcast world, that's a pretty big accomplishment because I've had other podcasters on our show and things like that. And their podcasts are still not or are not even around anymore. So for us to be on our third year is quite an accomplishment. And I appreciate that. We've had our bad shows, you know, in the podcast world, you have some shows where you're like thinking to yourself, man, was that the best show that I could have put out? I don't know. Or you always question yourself, did I go a little too long on that episode? Did we talk a little too much about a topic? But, sure, you know, what we like is, we created the show because of enjoying the time we have with each other, no matter how long we talk about one topic, it tells us that we enjoyed what we were talking about, which is the reason why I wanted to create a podcast. I missed those times of being in middle school and high school and having the lunchtime with a lot of your friends, and you guys just shared stories about everything. That's what I wanted the podcast to be. It was just friends sharing their stories about everything. It didn't matter if it was sports or movies or religion or whatever it is, as long as the conversation was great, to have that with your friends is just amazing.
And I have to admit that that in so many ways, y'all do have a good rhythm that y'all continue with each other. I mean, it's fun to tune in. You got a great intro that comes in that's got everyone's attention. It's like, what's all this stuff in the restaurant, the background that's happening, and then all of a sudden y'all come in and you start discussing everything under the sun, but it meshes beautifully. It could be going from video games one second, next thing you know y'all are whining about Tom Brady going over to Tampa Bay or cheering it on. So I've almost got – I know that's on the tip of y'all's tongue at this point. But the one thing I've got to ask at this point is just because, one, I need to be educated and other people in my listenership need to know about this. Can y'all walk me through – how MegaCon works over there in Orlando? Because I'm familiar with Comic-Con and heard some other smaller ones. There's even PowerCon for those that are friends of Masters of the Universe. But as far as MegaCon works, how does that function, and what are some of y'all's memories behind that one?
Nate, you dress up for all of them, the guru of the group.
It functions like any other convention. MegaCon, I would probably say, is maybe like the one here in Orlando is probably like maybe top five, maybe top four, as far as popularity with conventions. Of course, nothing can top Comic-Con, you know, like in San Diego and all, but Orlando has become one of the bigger cities. You know, you have San Diego, you got New York, and then maybe, I don't know if Miami's bigger, but in Orlando, we have like a whole section that is dedicated to conventions, like a humongous convention center. And I've gone to like four conventions in 1 year at one point. MegaCon is definitely one of the biggest ones here every year. And I actually, I think me and Ed, some of us actually have tickets for this year's convention. But of course, everything is postponed because of COVID-19. Yeah, I remember our first convention, we all went together. Like, we all have pictures and stuff like that, and you get to see so many celebrities. And, like, one of the cooler things is that the first time we went, all three of us actually, I think Ed and Tom, they donated to a charity. And because they donated, they allowed us to take a bunch of pictures with a lot of movie props. So we took a picture with the Mandalorian, the Tarsus, the time machine, and we got inside the telephone booth for Bill and Ted's adventure. Yeah, and you know, it was just like such a cool atmosphere, like to the point where if you're not wearing like a graphic tee or not dressed up, you feel out of place. But it's so many celebrities, so many things that you can so many activities as well. You can win stuff, you can buy exclusive things, but yeah, it's pretty much same kind of convention and stuff like that. You know, chance to meet celebrities.
4 days long.
Icons. Yeah.
I definitely feel educated now at this point. Anything else? Go ahead.
There was a person that was following us on, I forgot, Ed. You met him through social media, right?
Yeah.
That we met up with one of our followers, and that was pretty good. We posted pictures with them and things. Like, we love to meet up with fans, but we saw some of the Power Rangers, the older Power Rangers, which I felt like back in the day now, you know what I mean? So, nostalgic. And then we saw some Stormtroopers, some droids, Star Wars stuff. Nate actually was dressed 1 year as Deadpool. Everybody loved pictures with him. So, I mean, we got to a point where, like, going up and down, you could get lost in there. Trust me, it's big. It's big and it's a lot of people. And then you get like, there's certain days, we got to a point where certain days that we knew we would go because the artists would actually be selling their artwork cheaper because they didn't want to ship it back to their house, the where they're from. So we kind of know the ins and outs of MegaCon, but I know we have a couple of people that I actually knew that is coming up. His name is Michael Duran. He was an artist that was that he supported us also, and we supported him on the show too. But you know, it was fun to me. It was fun. Nate got to have a picture with Stan Lee. I mean,
twice.
Passed away. Wow. Yeah. So that was pretty cool, man. We have those opportunities. If you're a gamer, also like Magic the Gathering, things of that sort, they do those things there too. It's a whole. If you're going to be there, invest in all 4 days.
Blockhead Nation, thank you so much for tuning into my show. But seriously, if you have not been checking out the American Timelines podcast on historyforjerks.com, what are you waiting for? Here's the rundown. Joe and Amy have been married for almost 20 years. She loves true crime.
He loves pop culture and history, and they've combined their preferences into this true crime history and pop culture podcast, where she's going to tell you the crime story, and then he is going to tell us what's happened on TV while it occurred. And they tell their stories year by year, month by month, and these are the stories that would have gone viral if the internet existed back then. So you're missing out on a good time. Go and check out historyforjerks.com or go to my link for yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog and check out the link for the American Timelines podcast, and you are in for one amazing show. American Timelines podcast. Go there today.
I mean, it sounds like if it's anything like the San Diego Comic-Con, then that is the one that you, if you don't go one day, you're missing out on a lot because they're very accommodating to all of the fans. That's what it sounds like. And I'll definitely need to be checking in with y'all more when the time comes, when all this passes. I'm going to be interested in all of y'all's experiences with MegaCon again in the future. But I don't mean to cut it off, but I know that some of y'all are chomping at the bit. This is where I really talk my YFB listeners into your show, because your last episode, you did your first one with Zoom. But again, y'all were very much, you know, not trying to exclude Matt, but I want to make sure that I kind of cover this. Y'all had just doing a recap, y'all covered several sports, several movies, several video games, but the big topic that y'all started off right off the bat was Tom Brady coming over to Tampa Bay. I'm going to mute myself and let y'all have at it for a little bit. This should be interesting.
Mr. Buccaneer hat, go ahead, homie.
Yeah, well, this is Ed, and I'm a big Bucs fan. Nice to meet you. It's fantastic because, Tampa Bay isn't thought of in a lot of people's eyes, unless you're a Bucs fan. You know, in the NFL, the Bucs, I know, are seen kind of like the Southern Cleveland Browns. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan, I'm sorry, but I can feel your pain sometimes. So to have one of the greatest quarterbacks come to your team is amazing, and it's taken up a lot of the topics on sports shows, as in Fox Sports and ESPN. And I still have to pinch myself to make sure that this is real. I can't believe it till this day. I mean, until I see game one, it's still surreal. You know, Nate and Tom are not Buccaneers fans, so I'll let them share how they feel about the greatest quarterback coming to one of my favorite teams.
I mean, to me, I thought, like, after last episode, which Matt is not here, but he's a big Bucs fan too. So we had an argument because he thought that Cam Newton was a better quarterback to come to the Bucs instead. Tom Brady, which I don't agree at all, because with the experience of Tom Brady, he can make anybody look good, pretty much anybody look good down the field. And we were talking about that. They have the weapons for it. He's a very good fit for that program. And it's warmer weather. He's getting older. You know, it affects you. Trust me, it does. It's just with Cam Newton, you're just gambling on a broken tire happening every single time he goes on the field, because he gets hurt as much times as anybody else. So, and then he completely, like, he was like, one time he was saying, we were talking about Jameis Winston and his Tom Brady. Like, I would put Tom Brady in the back there over Jameis Winston any day.
Well, Matt also gave the argument that he would take Drew Brees over Tom Brady, and I almost had a heart attack.
Yeah.
I mean, no, not for nothing. New Orleans fans, I love Drew Brees. He's a great guy. But when it comes down to the field, I don't like him anymore, okay? So.
Well, Nate, you're chomping at the bit, man. I got to get you in on this bad boy.
No, honestly, the thing is, I'm not a Bucs fan either, but I respect good players. You know, like, you can't deny talent and stuff like that. So, like, the funny thing is, it's just, like, me, Matt, and Tom, like, we've talked about, like, you know, the moment there was an inkling of Brady may leave and where would he go, me, I thought he would go to San Diego. We entertained the thought, what about the Bucs? I think Ed was like, yo, what about the Bucs and stuff like that? And Matt was like, no, I wouldn't take him. I was like, and you know, that's what we would all be like, how would you not take the best quarterback? This guy's got more rings than most franchises, you know? And And it's just funny because it happened. So I'm just – so, like, when the moment that happened, I immediately thought of these guys. I was like, man, we were just talking about this. Like, I'm like, we got to find the recording episode from, like, months ago, you know, just to, like, kind of prove, like, look, you see, it happened. We spoke it into existence.
Yeah, your fans have to go back into the archives and hear that discussion again because it's like there's no way it's going to happen. Here, Nate's going, oh, my gosh, this really just happened.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could like remember all the episodes because there's been plenty of times where like we talked about something or there were rumors or something came on the line, something potentially coming in the future, and we had a round table about it and talked about what we think might happen or what do we think is going to happen, stuff like that, and it ends up turning out to be that way, and it's like the biggest "you see, I told you" kind of moment. So
you
it's
know,
always good to have that recorded.
Yeah, I don't mean to interfere too much when it comes to Tom Brady, but let me just give you on my side, since I'm from south of Dallas, you know very well that I live in the Cowboys territory. And let me put it this way. I'm going to tell what everybody needs to hear at this point. This is Blockhead talking, and you can dispute it all you want to. If we had the chance, let's just say if he were to come to Dallas, you better just be counting your blessings anyway just to be able to have that leadership in the locker room. Plus that spectacle, because anywhere that Tom Brady goes, he is going to be a spectacle. No matter what, you're going to have an accomplishment that nobody else has. I'm not going to get into rankings on greatest of all time. I'm not going to do that because it really bothers me when people want to look at things like you're comparing something that was so short term versus like the early days where somebody laid the groundwork for you. But I will tell you, Dallas seems to live in this expectation of a phoenix to rise that is the trio of the 1990s. They're expecting to see Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin somehow to formulate on the field once again to relive the magic that was of the 90s. And it just is not happening. Let's not kid ourselves. The guy that was replaced by Tom Brady was who? Drew Bledsoe. And who did he come down and try to formulate a team under? He Dallas. Came to Dallas, exactly. So we have had the makeshift off-brands of professional football players all ever since then because you have Tom Brady who rose to the occasion and has this spot. But it seems like every year they have the same thing about how Dallas is going to turn some heads. Maybe in the season, but every time you get to the playoffs, it's the same old story. Why are you trying to relive something that has been – written in the history playbooks? I said it here. But all I'm saying is, at least with Tom Brady, I love the idea of him going to another team and bringing his leadership. But my question is, how long is it going to take for the team to really build up the camaraderie that you need that the Patriots had the whole time? I'm just wondering how long that's going to be. And my answer is only time will tell. Nobody likes that answer, but that is the answer. Only time will tell us at this point.
The good thing that I like is that the majority of the Bucs team has been together for at least 3-4 years, those players. So the core is there. The only new piece coming in is Tom. And him being such a professional and such a perfectionist, I think that it might start off a little slow, but it'll all click in due time. And the fact that he's going to have some of the best offensive weapons that he's had since, I would say, Randy Moss, and Gronk and Welker at that moment, because he's had some stuff, but you know, recently, yes, within the last few years, he hasn't had what, you know, the offensive firepower that he's going to have now.
Sure. I have to give you all that. Now, I don't want to get too far off of this point, but that y'all covered that a lot in your last episode. You covered even video games. You covered some movies that are out there. But I have to ask you something that's happening in your backyard, mate, because Ed walked me through this a little bit too, and I was educated on this. As I understand it, Florida actually has where a lot of the WWE talent will go in and do their tapings. And so how is that working as far as the one sport that the show must go on? How is that working for there? And what are you guys seeing when it comes to the second one, Dana White, who's saying that we're going to be the next sport that comes in and starts up while all the other sports are still on hiatus? What do y'all think about that topic?
Well, I mean, I can tell you right now that it's really 15 to 20 minutes from where we live. So the Performance Center is where they actually hosted WrestleMania, which is the pay-per-view that just happened this past weekend.
Yes, that's right, 36.
Yeah. So, I mean, I watched the whole thing. It was entertaining because of the fact that wrestling was entertaining. But the fact that it just – the ambiance of not having a crowd kind of made it a little bit stale, to be honest with you. But still, like, I actually appreciate the fact that they're go ahead and you know, their show must go on type attitude. I appreciate that a lot. I mean, the way they're doing it, they're adapting to it. It's still – like, it doesn't drop off. You know, it still keeps going, and I like it. It's entertaining. I watch it royally, you know, I'm a big fan. And, you know, I wouldn't have mind going to see some if we were able to. I'm definitely going to see it because it was supposed to be in Tampa, WrestleMania, but they had to bring it to Orlando, their performance center.
You know, I'm an MMA fan as well, casual. I always like to catch the bigger fights because I'm not well-knowledged in a lot of the other fighters, just the ones that they're always promoting and pushing. I would love to see some MMA. The difference between MMA is that they pick locations to set their matches or their cards. Whereas with the WWE, being that it's here in Central Florida, their Performance Center, they have a hub that is stationary, and they're able to pre-record their shows. And I'm assuming that they're probably bringing in the wrestlers. Now, don't hold me to it. I'm just assuming that's probably what they're doing to take precaution on keeping the minimum number of people in a certain spot. But they're probably recording their matches in time slots. So they'll probably let two wrestlers know, hey, come in at this time. We'll record your spot, and then you guys can go. And we'll bring in the next folks, and then they'll set up an entire show for wrestling. Because I know that's how they did WrestleMania. WrestleMania was a two-part WrestleMania this year, which was pre-recorded. Earlier in the week, and then they showed it on a Saturday and on a Sunday. Can UFC do that? I don't know.
I don't see why not. Remember Ultimate Fighter?
Very much so.
Why can't they do that type of environment?
Yeah, I can kind of give some insight on that one a little bit, but Nate, do you have any thoughts on WWE or the moving forward of MMA of any kind, postponement, non-postponement? What do you think?
Well, I think MMA is definitely possible for a couple of reasons. Since when it comes to MMA, it's less people involved, so it's I guess it's a little easier to control. Like, let's say if you're gonna have two fighters, right? If you want to have this match to happen, and you know, of course, with the safety precautions of COVID. You can have them be tested before while they do the training. And by the time the testing, once, you know, you can literally, by the time the match happens, everybody could be tested and cleared and everything like that. They can literally be checked and cleared to fight and engage each other and not have to worry about contaminating each other or anything like that. Because with the time of training, preparation and everything, since there's only a few people, you have the fighter, the ref, and the fighter's crew, you really don't need a lot of people to have an MMA match go on. You're talking like maybe what, less than a dozen people. You can have everybody tested and screened and then still arrange for this fight to happen if everyone's health is checked. I can still see that going on. You know, it just seems logical, like it can happen. So
yeah. I'll try to give my two cents on that one, Tom, my answer is I still think Ultimate Fighter would be a good idea for an MMA purist. The answer is we don't see the numbers and we don't know what the ratings look like for a show like that. And you got to understand also, Nate's right about how this is a sport that is very closely mitigated and regulated by the federal government. Vince McMahon is not. You know, he's a guy that has his own entity. But, you know, MMA is one that came under close regulations, even when senators like John McCain went after it, tried to shut it down because they looked at it as human cockfighting. So a lot of the evolution that led to it, Ultimate Fighter was kind of the Trojan horse that welcomed people in, but that's because they also had a deal with Spike TV. Nowadays, they have deals more with DAZN, ESPN+. And if you notice, the ones that shut down UFC 249 was not ESPN. Dana White. It was ESPN and Disney, because you have the merger of those two on a corporate level. So the powers that be that are way above that, Dana White says we're going, until Disney and ESPN came in and said, hold your horses just a second, man. And thus we don't no longer have 249. Well, we have another postponement. So now, because I recently talked to Sam Alvey, who used to be on my show, who was supposed to be on the card, and I asked, are you still going to be compensated? And he came back and he said, yes, we actually are, because now that we've had to wait, all the guys that were on there, not just Tony Ferguson, not just Justin Gaethje, but people like Nico Price and other people that were on the card are going to be compensated for this until otherwise. So that's coming from my source. They've at least been taken care of. So the answer is, I love the Ultimate Fighter. It comes down to, they've also expanded many other shows. Like, they have the recruiting one that's got, what's his name, Matt Serra in it. They've done so many extensions of it that the Ultimate Fighter may not have the ratings that they absolutely need. They might. Reintroduce it again, because I love the Ultimate Fighter. That's where we first saw people like Nate Diaz come into the play. Guy who was on my show, Coach Joe Stevenson, was on the second one, and he had an amazing run with BJ Penn. So for purists, it would be great. As far as the casual fans, they don't know who these guys are. They don't even know who Khabib is, and that's a shame, who is undefeated and defeated Conor McGregor. People know spectacles when it comes to MMA. I'm sorry. It's kind of like the WWE. We are in an entertainment era, whether we like it or not. They want Conor McGregor's. They want Brock Lesnar's. They want Ronda Rousey's. And what we've got,
I don't want Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that's what I mean, is that, you know, we've got, and even that was a good storyline for Cain Velasquez to come in. The one guy that took him in a real fight is now coming into WWE. That was a great storyline to build. I don't know how well they did with it. You guys have followed.
That was horrible.
He got hurt right away.
It didn't look like it was successful at that point. But I've had a great time with y'all. I'm going to start with you, Ed. If there is one thing that you can think of, whether it's podcasting, your own philosophy, or whatever you want to really share, this is your chance, Ed, to share with the Blockhead Nation. What do you think, if they heard nothing else from this today, what do you want them to know about the Casually Kicking It show, or what do you want fans to know maybe during this time we're in? What's something you'd want to share with the Blockhead Nation? Well, go ahead, my friend.
I just want to share that, you know, during this time with the COVID-19, let's keep our heads up, and I love how everyone is working together. And that's one thing that I love about our podcast is, you know, it's a group. We all work together to make this podcast. And it's a podcast that's made for everyone. We talk about everything. It's a casual, that's why it's called Casually Kicking It, because we're just casually kicking it with our friends and enjoying a conversation.
Good stuff. Nate, I'm going to hand it off to you. But if there's one thing you want the listeners to know today, what is it you want them to take away from this episode, my friend?
Well, one thing I would tell the listeners is to, you know, our goal is to try to record a set. You know, we do this because we like to. You know, nothing's really scripted. We just, you know, the whole point is, like, if you're not able to hang out with your friends, you can. Oh, I want listeners to be able to listen to one of our episodes and pretend that they're, like, right there in the middle of what we're talking about. You know, that's kind of like the whole goal of Casually Kicking It. That's why we don't restrict ourselves and don't ever want to restrict anybody else. We just want our listeners to feel like they're in the room with us hanging out. So I guess, you know, that's – hopefully that's what we can give our listeners, and that's what you want to give our listeners.
And I have to agree, because that's how I felt every time. So, Tom, handing off to you, my friend, to really close us out. If there's one thing you want the listeners to know today, what would that be as we close this out, my friend?
No matter what you guys are doing, just if you got something on your mind, record it. Get it out there. That's the only way you're going to share anything. With us, we love to share whatever we want. Your family just as like our Casually Kicking It family. So if you keep on listening, we keep on pushing it out there. We're here to entertain everybody. So keep your head up, and no matter what, even though you got to stay in your house, we're still available for you.
Could not have said any better. And with that, guys, I give you the Casually Kicking It. Thank y'all so much for coming on this episode with me today, my friends.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us on your favorite blockhead. Finally.
I know it's been too long in the making. I've had a great time. I hope you guys have had as good a time as I have. But as we close out, guys, let me just say, make sure you are following the Casually Kicking It and leave them a review, a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Subscribe to them. Go to their YouTube page. Subscribe. Click the bell. And make sure you do all that to follow these guys, just as I have been and will be. And next time when you come on your favorite blockhead, we're going to sit down with my friend Drew Turner. It's going to be from the Paddler's Playbook. I know nothing about fishing or kayaking, but this guy that's going to come on next week is a number 2 podcast in Spotify for kayaking and number 26 on the list for fishing shows. We are about to get some serious insight coming on the Paddler's Playbook with Drew Turner. I'm building him up now. Look forward to that episode next week. Until then, this is your favorite blockhead with the Casually Kicking It crew, and we will see you guys again next time on next Saturday. Same blockhead time, same blockhead channel.